So we're starting now with page 5 in the presentation PDF that you might have open on your screen. The last thing I ever wanted to do in this workshop was to give people a whole list of medical items covered in each of the parts of Medicare, A or B or D. That's boring to the extreme. And also it's pretty accessible on the web or even in the publication Medicare and You, which is sent to everyone who's enrolled in it each year. Some of the categories are clear. For example, going to your doctor or getting the lab work done from that office visit is all covered under Part B. That's outpatient activity. But it's not all cut and dried like this. Some of this coverage can catch you off guard. On page 5 of the PDF, you can see the props I use for a little game I came up with to let this kind of stuff dribble down into your brain while you're having fun. The box of Pandora's ailments contain a whole lot of medical conditions and treatments and practitioners, and I usually ask people to pick a card from the box of ailments and see if it is covered in either Medicare Part A or B or D, or maybe not covered at all. They have to drop the little card into the proper bin. I mean, how hard can this be? Well, it turns out that most people get most things wrong, even I did when I started doing this, or maybe only partly correct. Once you play this game with me for a bit, you'll get a basic understanding of the ambiguities in the system and what you'll have to look into a bit more in order to choose the right coverage for you personally. I'm going to start by using the 4 cards popping out of the box on page 5 to show you what I mean. Let's start with non-participating doctors. Rarely does anyone get this right, because one naturally thinks, okay, not covered because these doctors are just not in Medicare. But the term non-participating refers to the doctors who do not accept Medicare's fee schedule. They want a larger fee for their service. So these guys are Medicare approved, they're in the Medicare system, yet they want to ask for some more money. In fact, they're allowed 15% extra in probably most states. Here in New York, it's limited to 5%. Actually, there are 2 exceptions where the allowed amount is 15% like the rest of the country, and that's with the office visits and with the home visits. But for the more expensive services, it is capped at 5%. What'll happen is you'll go to the office for the visit, and you'll be paying them up front their full fee. They will send your paperwork off to Medicare, and Medicare will refund you the 80% of its approved amount. Doctors who aren't in Medicare at all are actually called opt-out providers. Don't expect Medicare to refund you anything from those visits. They're outside the system altogether. The doctors you'll most want to see are those who take assignment. They're going to accept Medicare's fee structure. When you're looking into which practitioners you definitely want to be able to see, you can ask them if they take assignment, if they participate in the Medicare fee schedules. Let's try another card. Someone's choosing vaccines. Which bin would you put that card in? Did I hear someone say B, outpatient? Well, yes, it's covered by B and A and D and not covered at all. It all depends on the vaccine. If you're in an inpatient setting, the facility will cover the vaccines you're getting there. No question about that. That's Part A. If you've been bitten by a rabid dog or stepped on a rusty nail, you rush yourself over to the ER or urgent care and you get a vaccine against a dangerous virus. Sounds like Part B, and it is Part B. Also in Part B are flu, pneumonia, for some people, hepatitis B. These are B drugs or vaccines. All the vaccines not covered by Part B that are commercially available and reasonable and necessary to prevent against illness are covered by Part D. And the good news is that starting in 2023, all the Part D vaccines recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices are free. That now includes the shingles vaccine and also the one for tetanus, diphtheria, and whooping cough. But some vaccines are not covered at all. There's a buzz on the net that Medicare doesn't cover, for example, the typhoid vaccine or any of the other ones that you might get if you want to travel outside the United States. But I'm also seeing on some other websites that you should ask your Part D plan if they'll let you get it. It may not be listed on their formulary, but they'll cover you anyway, so check those out. So let's call on someone else. Okay, I see you've picked home health aid. What do you think? covered? Which part? Well, if it's home, you must be an outpatient, right? Well, not really. Skilled nursing can be covered under Part A or B. It used to be listed in the Medicare and U book as a Part A service, where they seem to say it's hospital, then skilled nursing facility, and then home health service. But that never made too much sense to me because you could get help at home if you had never been in a facility at all. In any case, now it's listed in Medicare as a Part A or a B service, and it's managed by an agency. But what is this home health aid person? Not what you think. It's not the person who comes to give you round-the-clock personal care. That kind of service will be out of pocket always. This kind of home health aid will be taking care of some of your personal custodial needs, like bathing and shaving, that sort of thing. But they won't be doing your shopping and they won't be doing laundry. They'll be assigned by the agency managing your skilled care while you're home, a few hours a week, but it varies. And you can't get an aid of this kind unless the doctor specifies that you're indeed homebound and that you do need some kind of intermittent skilled nursing attention and/or therapy. That's speech and physical therapy, of course, but occupational too if it's a continuation of occupational therapy that's already been started. And by the way, let me throw this in here. There's a kind of limit past which your physical therapist is allowed to exceed the number of sessions if they send in extra paperwork, but they may not want to do this because they're afraid of being audited. So we were told that you could try another therapist in this case who might not be so concerned. But in general, there's no limit in any given year. Medicare should cover outpatient therapy to improve or restore your ability to function or to prevent it from getting worse, whether it's temporary or chronic. Skilled nursing, then, to be clear, includes things like giving you your meds or changing catheter or teaching you how to inject yourself with some shots. Now, once this has all been requested by the doctor, you'll get a few hours a week of the custodial care from the aide, depending on where you live in Westchester County, to some extent, because some villages are hard to get to and it's more difficult for service providers to reach you for short periods of time. Figuring out whether the aid is being paid through Part A or B is a bit tricky, and I made inquiries about this, and all I can say is that the agency will determine which part of Medicare will cover it and submit the paperwork somewhere in the system. On this particular issue, I think you can't be a control freak. Let them do their thing and just hope for the best. But if the agency doesn't expect Medicare to cover something, though, they'll ask you to sign an ABN, and that's an advance beneficiary notice, where you pay the full amount beforehand and see if you can get anything back later after the paperwork has been processed. So you'll know up front what to expect as far as billing is concerned. I'm going to do just one more of these ailments. Someone else? Ah, you've picked ambulance. What do you think? Hospital, did you say? Well, I can't blame you for saying that because most people do. They think ambulance going to the hospital, but it's not Part A, that's for sure. It's Part B. Medicare pays for the ambulance when it's medically necessary and also when any other kind of transportation could actually harm you. You'll also pay for a helicopter or an airplane in some cases. But in any case, the ambulance will take you to the nearest hospital that can solve your problem. I just want to add that mostly one calls for an ambulance in an emergency, but it doesn't have to be an emergency if your doctor can justify the use of the ambulance service for certain medical conditions. It has to be the only safe way to transport you. Medicare does not cover ambulettes, which are those wheelchair-accessible vans for non-emergency transportation, but your Advantage plan may cover those. CMS recently put out booklets on ambulance coverage and also on Medicare's mental health benefits. You can Google those. Let's just end this section with two more from inside the box where you can't see them. One is second opinions. Medicare does cover second opinions, and it does cover third ones too if the way forward is still not clear. But the other is a bit more tricky, annual physicals. Be very careful about this. Medicare gives an initial welcome to Medicare visit when you first join. It has to be done in the first 12 months after the Part B eligibility date. And in this visit, as well as in the annual wellness visit, that's once a year for those, the doctor assesses your health. Some of the tests they ask for are covered by Medicare, free. They're likely preventative services. and some are ordered by the doctor if they need some more information about your health status. You'll be paying Part B coinsurances for those kinds of tests unless you have supplemental coverage of some kind. All that's straightforward and traditional Medicare. But if you're in an Advantage plan, you might in fact be offered, in their benefits package, an annual physical. You can check that out in their benefits charts and their materials. Obviously, we could play this game all day long, so I'm going to stop here. But I strongly recommend that you take a look at the PDF I've created to help you sort out the rest of the little problem items in this game. You'll see them pouring out of the box on page 6. Any insight you can get from reading through that PDF will help you understand the kinds of research you might have to do at some point down the line, not only to figure out the insurance coverage you're going to be buying, but how to minimize any nasty surprises in your future bills. Please learn how to be comfortable using the Medicare.gov website or the Medicare and You Handbook. There's a ton of information in both of those, though unfortunately, it's not always all that clear. You may also need to call your plan or your providers to see what and how something is covered. Perhaps the most important section in this whole workshop is coming up next, and it'll begin on page 7 of the presentation PDF.